I love today's scripture story. You see, up until this point in the New Testament, all the miracles that were performed by Jesus. He fed the 5,000 people. He healed blind Bartimaeus. Last week in our sermon, we talked about how Jesus healed a paralyzed man. After he died on the cross, he came out of the tomb. But in today's story, something different happens. An ordinary person like you and me is the one who carries out the miracle. Peter and John are going to the temple to pray when they come across a man who has been crippled from birth. The man is there at the temple gates. He's begging for money as he has done for many years. Peter tells him that they have no money for him, but they have something better than money. And with that, he takes the man by the hand and he helps him up and he says, "In the name of Jesus, walk." And the man is able to walk and even jump, and with enthusiasm, he praises God. That's a wonderful miracle, isn't it? I sure wish that I could work miracles like that. I wish when you or your loved ones are ill or dying, I could walk into the hospital room and I could touch you or touch them and bring about physical healing. I wish I could reach deep within your souls and lessen your pain and heal your broken hearts. Physical miracles, they happened in Jesus' time, and I believe that physical miracles still happen today. I've seen people miraculously healed. I've known people who had a terminal illness, even been in hospice, suddenly have no sign of that illness. I've heard of people involved in terrible accidents who miraculously survived. I'm convinced that extraordinary physical miracles happen, and I encourage you, when need be, to pray for them, to always keep hope alive. I can't explain why these kind of miracles happen sometimes, but not most times. Still, I'm convinced that praying for miracles is a spiritual practice that we can and should observe. But these aren't the kind of miracles that I want to talk with you about right now. And I don't think they are the primary miracles that God calls us as a church to carry out. The miracle in today's story is, to me, the most fascinating miracle in all of Scripture, because it suggests that ordinary people like Peter and you and I can be miracle workers through God's power. When John and Peter came upon the lame man, and he asked them for alms, what was the very first thing that Peter and John did? They didn't heal him right away. The very first thing they did was they looked at the man, and they talked to him. Probably for years, people had been walking past this man, not really seeing him, kind of like we walk across people begging on corners today. People for years had been avoiding him, dehumanizing him. And because of that rejection, I'm guessing that other than seeing the men as a likely possibility for a handout, he wasn't really seeing other people either. But on this day, it was different. When Peter and John said, "Look at us," they were communicating to the man, "You are human, you are worthy, you are important to us." And when the three really and truly looked at one another and saw each other, all of a sudden, it made the way of a healing miracle possible. You see, when we act in the name of Jesus, when we offer our hand to other people, we can work miracles of sorts in each other's lives. And hopefully, like the lame man who was healed in our scripture story, people we help will know that it is God helping them through us. It is God that brings the healing, and maybe that will lead them to know and trust and praise God. Isn't it the calling of the church to be in the miracle-making business? Isn't that our daily work? And is it possible that the greatest miracles in our lives happen when we take time to really look into each other's eyes and see each other and see beneath the surface and begin to enter into relationship and try to understand life from that other person's point of view and listen to each other and share our deep truths with each other? The church has worked many miracles in my life. At church, I learned about God's love for me, and I came to love the living, breathing Word of God found in Scripture. At church, I learned to pray and came to believe that God cares about and hears my prayers. At church, I learned that I sin, which keeps me from right relationship with God and others and from the life that God wants for me. But I also learned that forgiveness and healing is possible through Jesus Christ. And when I receive and offer forgiveness, that's real and life-changing, and miracles happen. At church, I learned that death happens, no matter how much we resist it. But I also learned that resurrection is a gift and a promise and a truth. At church, I received the gift of Christ in my life, confessing my own faith, choosing to follow the way of Jesus. I go to people in church for counsel, wisdom, direction, hope, support, and love. I've gone to church so happy at times that I couldn't be any happier, only to find that the church has enhanced my joy. I've gone to church with questions and anxieties, fears, and problems, and have found peace and calm and direction. I've returned to church after profound moments of pain and death and hopelessness, and I thought I shouldn't have come today, only to find as I left the church that healing had begun and the gaping wound of pain and hurt had the wondrous healing balm of Christ applied to it. Have you experienced any of these kind of miracles through church? Church, any church, is a beautiful healing place, a place of miracles, because it is the body of Christ. It's where God's people, where you and I gather together. And that means that there is power for life change, power for healing. Like the lame man in today's story who came to the temple for healing and for hope, I'm always going to come to the church for a special touch of God's life-giving presence, and I hope you do too. The church to which I am referring is not a building, although often the church is housed in a beautiful building like this one. But the church is wherever we find God's people who share with us the healing presence of Christ, through whom we can share Christ's presence, and through whom together we see Jesus. A man battling cancer saw Jesus one day. One afternoon, a church member stopped by his home just to share a few minutes in conversation with him. They spent a little time talking. It was nothing spectacular. In fact, the church member reported that there were even a lot of moments where neither had anything to say. But the man who had the cancer, he told other people about how healing and how meaningful that visit had been to him. My friend hadn't thought his visit was a big deal at all, but to his friend, it had meaning. He was Jesus' presence in the life of that man, and as such, he was a miracle worker. Late one night, a former parishioner of mine saw Jesus in his driveway. Their son had unexpectedly died, and They were just coming home from the funeral. There had been a rather large snowfall. A neighbor saw that their neighbor's driveway wasn't shoveled, and so they decided to shovel the driveway as some small way to show that they care. Coming home and seeing that someone cared about them and shoveled their driveway gave them a glimpse, just a glimmer of hope, even in the time of their greatest despair. That, my friend, is a miracle. It's Jesus acting through his people. My ex-boyfriend and I were once out for dinner when we ran into Jesus. He was a tall man in his 40s working for a group home. He had four developmentally and physically challenged young adults with him. During the meal, it was a buffet. He helped them get their food, and he encouraged them to help each other. He laughed with them, and he teased them, and he talked with them about what they would do when they got home. None of the four were able to talk much in response, but that didn't stop him. He treated them with kindness and dignity and genuine care. He had obvious joy in being with them, and they could see that and feel that, and I saw Jesus in him. It's always a blessing to run into Jesus. Every single time we do, Jesus' miraculous healing power surrounds us and fills us, doesn't it? There's a song that says, "We're the only Jesus some will ever see." Jesus shines his light through you and me into the lives of others. Friends in Christ, we can be miracle workers. We are called to be miracle workers. We can shine the light of Jesus wherever we are. We can help people see and experience God. Perhaps we will do it by going to a sporting event or musical concert or play of a young person to express interest in them. Perhaps we will do it by babysitting for a single parent or overwhelmed parents. Perhaps we will do it by taking a stand for social justice and saying some behaviors are wrong and standing up for people who have been left out. Perhaps we will do it by walking in a parade to say, "We care and we're on your side and we affirm who you are." Perhaps we will do it by being a listening ear for someone struggling or giving a word of affirmation or encouragement to lift someone's spirit or helping someone who is in trouble. Maybe we'll do it by offering forgiveness and grace. And folks, the miracles that God can do when we choose forgiveness are profound. Perhaps we will offer miracles to others by thinking of the needs and perspectives of someone else before our own. When we reach out and talk to someone and look them in the eyes and see down into their heart and spirit, when we show kindness and care and offer a gentle touch, a miracle of sorts just might happen. And maybe some of the people whose lives we touched will, like the crippled man in today's scripture story, begin knowing and trusting and praising God. There's a prayer called Heart Prince, and I want us to end with it today. Pray these words aloud with me, and may they be your prayer. Lord, we know that on whatever our hands touch, we leave fingerprints. On walls, on furniture, on doorknobs, dishes, books. As we touch, we leave our identity. Oh, please, God, wherever I go today, help me leave heart prints. Heart prints of compassion, of understanding, of love. Heart prints of kindness and genuine concern. May my heart touch a lonely neighbor or a runaway son or an anxious mother, or perhaps a dear friend. I shall go out today to leave heartprints. And if someone should say, I felt your touch, may that person know it is your love touching and healing them through me. Amen. First United Methodist Church, the Copper Top, let's continue to change the world with heartprints of God's love extended from us to others, starting here on the skyline, extending into our city and throughout the world. May we leave heartprints of understanding, of acceptance, of inclusion, of compassion, of care. In the name of Christ, may it be so. Amen. It's time now for our offering. Our offering is a time of joy and privilege when we get to think about all the blessings that we have and we get to give back through our time, talents, gift, service, and witness. And today I want to talk to you about one of the ministries that happens because of your giving, and that is Ruby's Pantry. Ruby's Pantry started meeting here 8 years ago. It meets once a month, and people come and get a share of food. And did you know that over 25,000 shares of food have been distributed through our church? And dozens and dozens and dozens of people in our congregation have been a part of it. More than 60 volunteers are needed each time. And think of the families who come into our church, the individuals who get food, and who not only get food, but get to experience the love of Christ through us. People for whom we get to leave heartprints of love. And then at the end of the evening at Ruby's Pantry, there's always food left, and that doesn't go to waste. It goes to the D'Amico Center, CHUM, the Union Gospel Mission, food shelves. Over $23,817 of donations of food have been given that way. Friends, when we partner together, when we share our time, talents, gifts, service, and witness, miracles happen. God takes our gifts and changes the world. God takes our giving and changes and blesses us.